Thank you, Joe. If you have a Bible, if you would please turn to the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start with a text there in just a moment. It's been good to be together today, and we hope that as you leave this place, you carry with you a greater love for God, a stronger commitment to do His will, a greater courage to stand up for the cause of Christ as we encounter those around us. In the Sermon on the Mount that is recorded in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, Jesus offers some teaching that are quite challenging, perhaps, as we use language in speaking to one another. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, the Lord says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment.' But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hell fire." I wrote an article that was in our bulletin some years ago in which we looked a little bit at the issue of whether or not we should call people idiots. I grew up kind of thinking that, well, you know, as long as I don't say fool, it's okay, but I can call somebody stupid or an idiot or whatever. And the more that I looked at that as I studied the Lord's words, I don't think that that's the case. We'll see examples in Scripture where disciples of Christ will speak of others as acting in a manner that's foolish. But as we're going to see in just a few moments, Scripture makes it very clear that to actually speak of someone as a fool, and the Greek word that's translated fool here is the word moros, and we get our word moron from it. So, you know, if you call somebody a moron, you are doing literally what Jesus condemned here. Now, with that said, while certainly we need to be cautious about the way in which we speak about someone else, the Bible very clearly will define what it is that is foolish behavior. And we're going to look this morning at the last part of our lesson at four examples of those whom the Bible identifies as fools. Why is it that this is something that we ought to exercise caution about? Or why is it that this is something that the Lord urges us in Matthew chapter 5 we shouldn't call someone? Well, there's some characteristics about how the Bible speaks of one who is a fool that we need to be aware of. We need to recognize that Scripture will describe the fool as one that hates knowledge. Proverbs 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 1, verse 22, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning," notice, "and fools hate knowledge." The fool is one that will bring shame to family and to loved ones. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother." Proverbs 17, verse 25, "A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him." That's what it means as the Bible speaks about one who is a fool. So we understand why the Lord would urge us not to use such a word. The Bible tells us that the fool is one who minimizes and makes light of sin. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 9, "Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor." Proverbs 10, verse 23, "To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom." So the fool will treat sin as if it's no big deal, as if it's, notice the way they're in chapter 10, verse 23, sport to engage in that which is wrong. The fool as well will be one that will not control anger. A fool vents all of his feelings, Proverbs 29, verse 11 tells us, but a wise man holds them back. So when we speak of someone who's a fool, we're talking about that one who is acting without restraint, either with respect to anger, or as we'll see as well, Proverbs chapter 17 will talk to us about the fact that fools don't control their tongues. "He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive." But we don't want to be foolish. There's Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27 and 28 teach. But how is it that Scripture will define one who is a fool? And I'd like us to notice as we mentioned at the beginning of our lesson, we're going to look at four whom the Bible will define as those who are fools. First of all, the Bible will clearly define the one who rejects a belief in God, the one who is an atheist, as a fool. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 14. Psalm chapter 14. And let's look at Psalm 14 and verse 1. Psalm 14 and verse 1. You know, to look at the world around us and to fail to see the intelligent design that is a part of it reflects a kind of foolish disposition that one must avoid. The fool, verse 1 of Psalm 14 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. Over in Psalm 19, we see a very similar kind of idea in Psalm 19 and in verse 1. Let's read verses 1 and 2. The reason that it is foolish to look and to say there is no God is because, Psalm 19 verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. My wife and I were walking yesterday, and we got talking. I think strange things sometimes, but I was kind of thinking about the sun and the fact that God has put the sun in the sky. And here you have this huge body in the heavens that is larger than our planet. And yet it is a fire that is continually burning. I know that they say that if the universe were to stand, eventually it would probably burn up. But as God has set it in place, it is just at the right position that it doesn't get us too hot or doesn't get us too cold. And to imagine that all of these things just fell into place by chance and accident, here we must recognize that God is speaking to us through His creation to let us know about His existence. Over in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul will say much the same thing. Beginning in verse 18 of Romans chapter 1, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. We talked this morning in our adult Bible class about that unseen force that Elisha's servant was allowed to see when they felt outnumbered. God's invisible power, His invisible attributes can be seen in the nature of the creation that He's made. Notice, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. But the Bible will also speak of one that we could describe as the rich fool. Look over in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and let's notice something that our Lord taught in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 16. Then He spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, notice God defining His attributes and character, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The Holy Spirit records here the words of Jesus as we see that if we put our hope in material things, we lay up treasures here and we are not rich towards God, it is foolishness. Over in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, Jesus would say, as he asked the question, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? When the day of judgment comes, when life passes from our bodies, if we have not stored up treasure in heaven, if we've not put our hope and trust in something that is higher than us, we're going to be disappointed. The Apostle Paul would warn about the danger of looking for things here and imagining that happiness and joy is found in all the things we can accumulate here. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9, Paul says, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." You know, you don't have to be a millionaire to have the love of money. It can be that you are poor by the world's standards, but if all that you ever are concerned about, all that you ever think about are things here, you may suffer from the love of money, which Paul says here is the root of all evil. A third category that I think Scripture will speak of as well, of one who is foolish, we could describe as the foolish builder. In Matthew chapter 7, turn to Matthew chapter 7, and let's look at verses 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 7, begin in verse 24. Here, as the Lord concludes the Sermon on the Mount, He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." As we think about this, the Lord is not talking about where you build houses. He's not talking literally about the foundation of houses. We live in a very windy area, don't we? We live with very sandy soil in some respects that can dry and crack and split. But what He's talking about here are the spiritual things upon which we build our life. Do we build our life upon those things which will endure? In the same way that we noticed in the previous example, that one who would be rich towards things here on earth but not storing up treasure in heaven is foolish. The one who builds their life upon those things that are ultimately going to pass away is like this foolish builder. Turn to Proverbs chapter 12 and look with me at verse 15. Proverbs chapter 12, and let's look at verse 15. Holy Spirit leads the wise man to write, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who eats counsel is wise." You know, if you ever talk to people, very seldom are you going to come across somebody that says, "You know, I think most of the time I just act foolishly. Most of the time I don't do the right thing." And you might find somebody that in a very self-deprecating kind of mood might describe it that way, or if they feel remorse or regret for something that they've done. But ironically, most of us, no matter what we are doing, no matter what course we're pursuing, we usually think, you know, I'm doing the right thing. Now, if that were the case, then every person in jail, every person that has ever committed a crime or ever committed a sin, would in fact be doing exactly the right thing. Here the Holy Spirit says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." What's the difference? We must seek and listen to the counsel of the wise. The ultimate source of wisdom is not to be found in men. It's not to be found in our own hearts. It is to be found in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 will talk to us about the foolishness of those that in this world may appear to be wise. They build their life upon science. They build their life upon all sorts of philosophy and things that men have come up with. And so they look at the message of the cross and they see it as foolishness. But Paul, through the Holy Spirit, says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. You know, you may think and you may imagine, or friends that you have may believe that, well, I'm following the latest ideas. I'm following the ideas that modern man holds to. And they might imagine that that's very wise and imagine that that's something that will endure. We need to understand that as the Holy Spirit reveals it here, those things that the world views as wisdom are actually foolishness. And if we build our life upon those kinds of things, like that man who built upon the sand, we will ultimately be disappointed. But one last category of fool that I'd like for us to consider is what we could describe as the unknowledgeable Christian. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 with me for a moment. Ephesians chapter 5, and let's listen to the Apostle Paul's admonition of the way we as Christians ought to be and ought to live. He describes it here as walking, and he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." That is, you're watchful, you're taking into consideration things. I like to watch this show, Dual Survival, sometimes, and they always have a military guy and kind of a naturalist guy on there. And the military guy, you can tell he's used to having to defend against the enemy, and he'll always use the expression, "You got to keep your head on a swivel." I think what that means is this idea. Spiritually, we walk circumspectly, notice, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now notice this. How is it that we avoid acting as the fool? We do so, verse 17, "Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And it goes on there to talk about some of the things that are contrary to that, drunkenness and things such as that. But notice there, the way in which we avoid being unwise is by understanding and knowing what the will of God is. Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 5, the Hebrew writer basically gives a rebuke to those who are Christians. They're Christians, and he doesn't necessarily say that they've gone off into sinful practices. But what does he say? Hebrews chapter 5, beginning verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age." That is, those who by reason of use, listen to this, "have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." You know, very rarely do you find it the case that the one who gives themselves to sin is one that is especially knowledgeable of God's Word. Occasionally it happens. But often it is a matter of not really understanding what God's Word teaches, not really being grounded in what the Word of God says, or if you know the facts and the details, you've not personalized it. You've not made it something that's meaningful to you. And so you're unknowledgeable about those things, whether you know the facts or not. You need to apply these things to your life. The Holy Spirit led Hosea to say these words long ago in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. And may it never be that it is true of us today. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." How important it is for us to listen to the Word of God and to avoid being foolish, as Scripture describes it. I hope that we won't go around saying, you know, you're a fool. If we follow Jesus' words that we noticed at the beginning of our lesson, we will not do that. But we absolutely, if we understand the seriousness that Scripture ascribes to calling someone a fool, if we realize that such a one is the one that would reject a belief in God, such a one is the one that would put their hope and trust in things of this life, such a one is the one that will not build their life on a solid foundation, and such a one is one that is not knowledgeable in the Word of God, but instead pursues their own heart, their own thoughts, their own wishes. If you're here this morning, you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I would urge you to recognize that a rejection of Jesus is foolish behavior. Don't do that. Put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Confess that faith before men. Repent and turn from sin that separates you from God, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. If as a child of God, perhaps you've walked in ways that we've looked at this morning, and you've not been grounded in the Word of God. You've put your hope and trust in things here, or you've begun to doubt whether or not there is a God that holds you accountable. And we challenge you to make that right. Ask for the prayers of the saints here. Repent and turn back to God. And if we can help you, won't you come while we stand and sing?
Sola, Savior, Thou art needy. Sola, Savior.